The Nissan Champions Trophy podcast is brought to you by Nissan, official sponsor of the 2017 ICC Champions Trophy. Nissan, proud partner of cricketing excellence.
What an emphatic way to do it. Pakistan have crushed England here in Cardiff and have booked their place in the final. England are out.
Yeah, the fans will be very happy and proud of this performance. Pakistan have turned things around and only a Pakistani team can do this. From nowhere, they've come back and what a response. In the all-important semi-final, they were way ahead of England on the day.
Peter, did you see that?
See what, mate?
Did you see what those Englishmen did? Oh. Or what they didn't do?
I'll tell you what, if the South Africans are chokers, I don't know what you want to call the Poms.
And that's how we start episode 8 of the Nissan Champions Trophy podcast. An amazing encounter between Pakistan and England. Pakistan unseating the form team in the tournament, the form team in ODI cricket over the last 2 years, really. And showing that Cavalier cricket really isn't all that it's trumped up to be. Pakistan into the final for the very first time, which leads me to my trivia question, Peter. Mm-hmm. Of the 13 teams who have played the ICC Champions Trophy over the years, how many have actually played in the final?
It's a goodie.
It's a goodie, yeah? Goodie
because we've got the top eight now, but it wasn't always a top eight. But beyond that, I'm afraid you're going to have to enlighten me a little bit later on.
Okay. I was looking at the answer just now. Almost gave it to you. But before I get, I really go ahead of myself. My name is Mzamo Moloi, Champions Trophy podcast host, next to Peter Davies. How are you, sir?
Good, man. Good.
You good? Good.
I'm loving today.
You're loving today, hey? Loving today. And the sun was out. Can you believe it?
Yeah, sun was out. What was not to love? I think I said long time ago in the distant past of these podcasts that England, for me, when the pressure's on, they're just as fallible as South Africa. South Africa, of course, have a well-deserved reputation on the international cricketing circuit for choking, but so do England, if you ask me. And once again today, I mean, everybody, all the stats, everything pointed in the favour of an English win.
Yeah.
Their form going into the match, the fact that Pakistan have been a little bit shaky up and down. And then Mohammad Amir, the one potential strike bowling kingpin that Pakistan have at their disposal, he pulls out as well.
Yeah.
So they've got to give a debut to Mr. Rais.
Yeah.
So amazing stuff there. All the smart money surely would have been on an English victory, but they followed like a cheap deck chair on a Brighton beach.
211 all out. Beautiful idiom, by the way. 211 all out. That sounds like a South Africa score from the late 90s, early 2000s.
It was a poor score. I mean, and they were going along very, very well. Yeah. And, you know, everybody starts then looking at the pitch and this and that. I mean, they were 128 for two when Joe Root got out after 27 overs. So you'd have thought, okay, you know, like 30 overs, you normally double it. So what, about 135, looking at 270 perhaps. And then all of a sudden, the Pakistan bowling was just superb. I mean, again, it was a very un-Pakistan-like performance because normally they're a bit dodgy in the field. But today they were throwing themselves around with abandon. There was energy in their fielding. They took a couple of fantastic catches as well. Yeah. And their bowling was on point all the way through. I mean, Rais, as you said, made his debut, 2 for 44 off 9.
Yeah.
The young 18-year-old Leggy Shadab Khan, 1 for 40. And then Hassan Ali, coming on third change, 10 overs, 3 for 35, just throttling that English innings midway through there and by doing so, going through to become the top wicket taker in the tournament. I think he's the only man
on 10
double figures
he's
now.
He's on 10,
I mean, so brilliant, absolutely fantastic. Couldn't ask for a better performance in the field. And how often do you get to say that about Pakistan?
You couldn't. And the thing that really gets me is that going into this, into the toss, Pakistan win the toss, they choose to field. Everyone was shouting, the commentators, everyone was saying, why are they choosing to field? Are they afraid that their batting lineup will be exposed? I think Sarfraz Ahmed, brilliant call from him. I mean, backing his bowlers, choosing, you know what, we're gonna limit them, and we're going to limit them well. I think if you had given them 211 with about 10 overs to go, they would have taken that.
Absolutely, they would have. And I think also what might have played into that decision, to bowl first, because England like to chase. So maybe just let them, you know, let's do what England don't want us to do kind of thing. So they're a little bit like South Africa in that way. They chase very well. But, I mean, we've just seen England. I mean, the stats have shown throughout this tournament, and the commentators have gone on and on about the fact that England routinely get to 300-plus in these ODIs, and they've done so since the 2015 World Cup virtually every single time. But today, I mean, to me, there was definitely an element of choking. There's no doubt about it. I mean, Ben Stokes, hugely uncharacteristic, 64 balls, no boundaries. Ben Stokes.
Look,
the dashing cavalier Ben Stokes.
They were held. They were held well. They were held well. And considering that the last four ODIs, I mean, the last ODI series between these two nations in England, England won 4-1. But the one match that Pakistan did win was at the Oval.
Same venue.
And they chased.
In Cardiff, yeah.
In Cardiff. Yeah. And they chased. They chased that. The game against Sri Lanka. They chased that.
Absolutely.
And they won.
Yep.
So I think you really look at what it is that Pakistan have done. They've backed themselves to chase, even though, irrespective of the score.
It's just, you know, if you're a Pakistan cricket fan, you must be ripping the hair out of your head, because you never know what you're going to get.
Imagine being Mickey Arthur.
Mickey Arthur. Mickey Arthur.
He's like the emoticon of the Champions Trophy.
Yeah, Yusufan, you blow my mind, hey, Mickey. He's been unbelievable. I mean, it's great for him as well, because he wears his heart on his sleeve, Mickey. He's had success with the South Africans. He's had success and failures with Australia. But I don't know if you saw him the other day against Sri Lanka. He was rocking on that balcony like a mental patient, quite frankly. Somebody sitting one floor over the cuckoo's nest there. And he was just so into it and just so wrapped up. And then that sort of relief and the joy and sort of hugging all his team and the whole thing. So great from that point of view. Nice to see we will have a South African in the final. But as far as Pakistan are concerned, you know, you never know. I mean, it's a cliche to say that the only predictable thing about them is that they're unpredictable.
Yeah.
And today, when they get into this mood and they start playing the way they do, and I presume Mohammad Amir will be available for the final. I haven't heard too much about it. I think a bit of a side strain or something like that. So who knows? Hopefully he is back because that will strengthen the team. But once they get on a roll like this, they're often quite difficult to beat. So, I mean, imagine a full house at Sapphire Gardens, the final on Sunday, and it's India v. Pakistan, the sequel.
Potential.
Part two. I mean, there's every chance that that's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, let me actually fix that. I said the Oval earlier, Peter. It was actually playing in Cardiff.
Yeah, exactly.
Apologies.
Yeah,
apologies, folks. Yeah. Pakistan, three games back, they were in the doldrums. Everyone was saying, what are they doing here? We missed the West Indies. Unbelievable.
It's just one of those crazy things. It really is. And it's one. I mean, I've got a very soft spot for Pakistani cricket, because they always produce these wonderfully explosive and instinctive type players as well. That's what I like about them.
They don't think too much. To start like that on debut.
Yeah.
To start on debut.
And then the batsman as well, Fakhar Zaman, coming in, smashing it around. I mean, he's only got two or three. And in fact, I think he made his debut against South Africa in this tournament. Mm-hmm. And he came in 57. Great start as well with Azhar Ali, the wise old head at 32, and he got 76 as well. So what they did was they just took away that scoreboard pressure with that stand of 118 off just 20 overs. So it almost looked like there was two different pitches at play. England made it look so difficult out there. Pakistan came in and said, okay, well, listen, let's not mess around here. Let's just make sure that, boom, we can get up with the rate straight away and just take the pressure off ourselves. And they did it superbly. All four batsmen got in, 76, 57, 38 and 31 with the scores. Brilliant stuff from them. So this so-called shaky batting from Pakistan again today just didn't materialize.
Now, don't forget to visit Nissan South Africa on Facebook or Twitter and vote for your favorite of three possible play of the day moments. Be part of the hashtag moments that count. Peter, what was your moment of the day? What was your moment in this encounter? I'll tell you what mine was. It was that Hassan Ali wicket to get that second wicket, stalling England there. They'd gotten the breakthrough earlier. That actually dismissed, was it Hales? I think Hales was first to go because they had Johnny Bairstow filling in for Jason Roy. I think for me, that was kind of the tipping point when they got rid of Bairstow, because Bairstow always seems to come in and perform for England, But Hassan Ali was able to dislodge him.
It was brilliant. And, I mean, also, you know, two runouts. We've spoken about the fielding and how un-Pakistani like it was today. Two great runs. There was a brilliant catch as well. I think it was Mohammed, or rather Moeen Ali, I think it was actually Farkhar Zaman out in the deep, if I'm not mistaken, off the bowling of Junaid Khan. It really was a wonderful take. It was one of those where, you know, if he'd have stuck around for a while with Joss Butler, it might have changed things. And it was one that in the past, those ones tend to go down from Pakistan. But this one was held on superbly by Zaman. And again, it just, you know, when a catch like that happens, it just lifts the whole team as well. And then that momentum is created. And so the confidence surges
behind the stumps was he was carrying that team.
Yeah,
Listening to him, listening to the to the chatter over the mic, over the stump mic, it was really good to hear him firing up his bowlers, encouraging the likes of Shadab, an 18-year-old who's performing for his side. So, I mean, as you're saying, Pakistan, the ability to just unearth these gem of players. And I was listening to Brendan McCullum over the commentary, because he played in the Pakistan T20 League. Yeah. And he was talking about how players from across Pakistan able to turn the game just like that. So it's really good and encouraging to see Pakistan in the final. They're heading to the Oval. It's going to be a good one. We're coming back. We're going to be talking about Bangladesh against India. I don't know if anyone wants to put out bets on this one, but let's wait. Let's wait for it. And we're back, Peter. Bangladesh against India. Yesterday, you would have said, yeah, India all the way. Then again, also, you could have also said Bangladesh will cause them some issues having done what they did to New Zealand with that sterling performance with the bat from Shakib Al Hasan and Mamadullah. But are we punting them a bit too much?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think Bangladesh will definitely test India. They have done recently, and I mean, they've beaten them a couple of times as well. And in fact, in the World Cup 2015, they kind of went toe-to-toe
for quite a while
into that game.
Rather frustrating, that loss.
And you know, sort of the big moments, perhaps India just managed to come through. But I mean, Bangladesh have just shown that they really are developing as a side away from home, not only at home, but also guys are scoring runs, they're taking wickets as well. I mean, interesting against New Zealand, they went in with four quickies. I mean, since when have Bangladesh had four quickies to choose? So I'm never mind going in with them. You know, and they've got the likes of Mustafizur Rahman, who's burst onto the scene, Rubel Hossein as well. In fact, Mustafizur, he hasn't had the greatest of tournaments. But who knows, maybe tomorrow's his day. And you know, whereas in the past, Bangladesh might have tended to wilt under the pressure, they now seem to be thriving under the pressure. And they've got that confidence, that fantastic run chase against the Black Caps. And who knows? I mean, they go into the game as rank underdogs, so the pressure's off them to a degree. And, you know, if they play to their potential, they might push India all the way. But I just think India are playing very smart cricket, very calm cricket at the moment, leading from the front, Virat Kohli, nice composed knock against South Africa. And that top four or five, you know, it is so powerful. And then the bowlers, we saw against South Africa, maybe South Africa helped them a little bit. but they bowled to a plan, you know, and they stuck to their lines. The seamers did their job. They brought... They brought Ashwin into the side as well, and he made quite a bit of a difference also. So fantastic. I mean, of course, big day tomorrow for Yuvraj Singh.
Absolutely.
300 ODIs. I mean, it's just
snap.
Unbelievable.
Just about 17 years with the national team in ODIs. I mean, he's really been a star performer for them. Talk about longevity in the game when a lot of people are just choosing, okay, I'm going to go for the shorter format. He's stuck around. He's a legend. He's going into that Hall of Fame.
Brilliant stuff. I mean, and also he's experienced it all. You know, the highs, the lows. He's had the battle with illness.
Yeah.
He's had all sorts of things, and he's bounced back all the time. And I mean, yeah, as you say, still, you know, on his day, absolutely fantastic player. Can be a match winner, match turner. So he's going to play a part as well. And of course, the big players tend to rise to the occasion when they need to most in these games. And you'd expect someone like him, MS Dhoni, who's been there, done it, Virat Kohli as well. And at the top of the order, Rohit Sharma and Shikhar Dhawan have got them off to great starts as well. So just
it's like 138 is a par for the first wicket stand.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they've got match winners all throughout the 11, quite frankly, India. But I think the big thing for them in the majors, as I'm saying, they're playing composed, calm cricket. Mm. It's like they expect to get through whatever is thrown at them.
Yeah.
So, and I think that sort of mindset that which they seem to be exhibiting at the moment is what's going to carry the day for them. I expect them to beat Bangladesh tomorrow.
Now, as we continue talking about this Bangladesh versus India semi-final, don't forget to follow Nissan South Africa at Nissan ZA on Twitter and Nissan South Africa on Facebook for an unexpected take on the semi between Bangladesh and India. Sean's Fiver will bring you 5 picks in 5 minutes to share his moments that count during the match. Speaking of Sean, that being Sean Pollock, let's hear what he thinks about the encounter between Bangladesh and India and if he might be tempted to go with the underdogs.
The next semi-final will be India versus Bangladesh. And who would dare to predict who's going to win that encounter after what we saw between Pakistan and England? I must admit that I would find it very hard to think that Bangladesh would have the firepower to beat India on the day. I think India are a very well-balanced unit, quality bowling, very strong batting lineup, and they've answered all the calls so far in this tournament. Bangladesh were absolutely superb after being under immense pressure of four down for not much against New Zealand. Two of their batsmen in the middle order, Shakib Al-Hasan, was just brilliant for his 100. And he is a real match winner for Bangladesh. But I just really don't feel they've got the firepower to go all the way. They haven't played their best cricket throughout the tournament. But I suppose under the pressure of elimination cricket, you never know what might occur. For me, India too strong. It will be a fresh surface in Birmingham. And there'll be a lot of Indian support in there behind their team to keep them encouraged and keep them motivated to go on and win. It would be an awesome final if it was an India versus Pakistan final, the old arch enemy up against each other. We'll have to wait and see. But for me, definitely India to beat Bangladesh tomorrow.
Yes, that's what Sean Pollock has to say about this encounter. Peter, you always find either on the message boards, on Twitter, wherever, the India and Bangladesh fans are always at each other. The India fans always trying to calm down the Bangladeshi fans. They're like, ease up, Tigers, ease up. You're still pups.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The big brother, little brother sort of syndrome, I suppose. It always happens when the traditional giant of that part of the world and the youngsters come through in Bangladesh, sort of nipping at the heels, yeah. Maybe trying to usurp Big Brother, as it were. So yeah, it's always fun, and I think no matter what happens, there's going to be a massive crowd for the final. I mean, obviously India versus Pakistan, I'm pretty sure the organisers would love that.
Absolutely.
But Bangladesh as well, they've shown that they've got lots of colourful fans out there. And
it is Birmingham, so it could be a shortened match. And once you start taking away overs, it's anyone's game.
Yeah, exactly. I think the weather is set fair for tomorrow, which is great news. Birmingham, we've had our issues early on in the tournament. Sort of as we come to the business here, it looks like we're going to be okay. So that's pretty good news, I suppose.
Now, speaking of, you're talking about Bigger Brother wanting to usurp. How are the rankings looking at the moment?
Well, I see in the wake of South Africa's demise, AB's unfortunately dropped down to number 3. I see Virat Kohli reclaiming top spot there amongst the batsmen. David Warner 2, then AB is 3. Quinton de Kock is down to 6. So I think when I last checked these things, I think we had 4 in the top 10 rankings. Mm. In fact, no, there's Faf du Plessis as well. He's 7th. So we've got 3 in the top 10 as far as the batters are concerned. And then bowling, Josh Hazlewood, top of the pile. He usurps our boy Imran Tahir, and then Kagiso Rabada down to 4 from number 1.
Actually, so, it was Kagiso was at the top, wasn't he?
Yeah, Kagiso in fact was at the top, correct, yeah. And Tahir was number 2. He stayed at number 2. So yeah, a little bit of a change there, unsurprisingly, given that South Africa were dumped rather unceremoniously out of the tournament.
Well, they're still there, hanging around in the bleachers, because they've still got a T20 series coming and the test.
Yeah, the T20 series gets going. I think it's next Wednesday. Mm. That's going to be exciting times. Of course, AB skippering there. I think they're giving Faf a bit of a break there.
Yeah.
And of course, don't forget on Monday, big cricketing news as well is the announcement of the 8 teams, the 8 franchises for the South African T20 awards as well. So that's something to keep an eye on.
It should be good.
Exactly. So, as soon as we've
have they chosen the marquee players yet?
They've got the marquee players as well, likes of Kevin Peterson, Chris Gayle, a couple of other guys, AB de Villiers himself, obviously. So we've got those, and now we're going to know on Monday from the home of cricket who the 8 franchises are. So that's going to be huge for South African cricket. So plenty to look forward to in the world of cricket over the next week or so, that's for sure.
Speaking of things that are huge and impressive, have you experienced the all-new Nissan Navara yet? Visit www.nissan.co.za to book your test drive and discover the meaning of rugged defined. Peter, before I forget, I need to
put
give
me
you
out of my
the
misery.
Trivia answer.
Every day you have to do this. You have to put me out of my misery.
Every
what
day except
now?
The other day when we lost, because I wasn't feeling like trolling, like going through the archives and looking for something.
We were both already miserable.
Yeah,
anyway.
No, I wasn't up for that. Now, my question was, of the 13 teams to have played Champions Trophy cricket over the years, how many have played in the final? Well, the answer is perfect number 7.
7. Okay.
That being South Africa, the West Indies, Sri Lanka, India, England, Australia, and New Zealand. And as of today, it's going to be 8 because Pakistan are going to debut in the final on Sunday. So it should be a good match, whomever they may face. But that's how we land episode 8 of this Nissan Champions Trophy podcast. It's been great. Looking forward to biting or jumping into the second semi-final and looking ahead to the final on Sunday. The Nissan Champions Trophy podcast is brought to you by Nissan, official sponsor of the 2017 ICC Champions Trophy. Nissan, proud partner of Cricketing Excellence.